On episode 410 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Beth Shaw and discuss her book, Healing Trauma with Yoga. Go from surviving to thriving with mind-body techniques. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/410. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Our guest today is the president and founder of Yoga Fit Training Systems. The leader in mind-body education, Yoga Fit has trained more than 200,000 fitness instructors on six continents. Today, we're going to talk about how yoga can be used to address trauma, both emotional and physical. With no further ado, here's Beth Shaw. So Beth, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I was excited to get an opportunity. I haven't had anyone on to talk about yoga in quite some time. And, you know, most of the time when we're talking about it, we're getting into the strength aspects or the mobility aspects or the stress reduction aspects of it. But it was pretty cool to see that there's also some opportunity for us to use yoga in a therapeutic way around trauma.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool for anyone who needs to heal.
And that's what I really got out of your book. And I guess, you know, I grew up and I kind of went through your ACE tests and I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to say I scored better than 50% on your test, but I guess I tend to be maybe a little bit more resilient at some level. And that was what you kind of got into in the book, is that trauma doesn't affect everybody the same way. And so we all are kind of dealing with our own battle with trauma at some level.
Yeah. You know, we're all like snowflakes, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically. So we all handle things differently. But, you know, I think that it's common to the human condition for people to struggle.
It is. You know, it's kind of a core tenet of Buddhism, is that, you know, that's what life is really kind of about. And it's more about embracing that than running away from it. And yoga kind of gives you a tool to do just that.
Yes, it does. It really gives us the opportunity, you know, not only to heal, but also to be the witness to our own process.
Now, in the book, you shared something, it was called the ACE test that I spoke about a little earlier. Can you kind of go through this ACE test and what it does and some of the questions that you ask in that would be asked in that test? So, you know, we can kind of figure out, you know, where do we lie on this and what are some of the things we may want to address as we go forward with using yoga as a therapy?
Well, the adverse childhood experience test is a simple test with under 10 questions, basically asking if anyone was abusive to you in your household while growing up, if there was violence in your household, if you had a parent who died, you know, if you witnessed any type of trauma, if you had any head injuries. So it's an opportunity for us to index ourselves physically and emotionally and just answer yes or no questions. And typically, if you have more than five yeses on that test, you are susceptible to a lot of trauma-related issues, including addiction, suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, and so on.
Okay. And I guess that's why it really kind of piqued my interest, because I took the test and I'm like, okay, this is not a test you want to score high on. But I did. and so as I got into it,
I wish that I had had that test when I was 18 years old. And two, I wish that they would give this test to everyone who's, let's say, a junior in high school. Because, you know, had I understood myself better as a young adult, my life's course probably would have been a lot easier.
And I agree with you. I think, you know, some of the choices and decisions I made, you know, we kind of sit there and we tell ourselves when we're at that age, it's like, oh,
I would never do that. I would never act like that. You know, that's not who I'm going to be. And then you find yourself 10 years later doing some of those exact things you said you would never do.
Right.
And so I think that's how, you know, in a sense, you know, I had always told myself when I was younger, it's like, well, I'm always going to be fit. I'm always going to be in shape. I'm always going to take care of myself. But my kind of my drive to perfection with my job, because I think maybe that's where I buried a lot of this stuff, was just, okay, I need to be successful. That's how I'm going to be a measure of, you know, difference is to be successful. And I applied a lot of that energy to my job, and I didn't apply it towards some of the more healthier pursuits, like eating right and doing yoga. And so eventually kind of things fell apart for me. And it wasn't until after I kind of rebounded and said, okay, I've got to fix this, that I started doing some of these things. And I think I was able to turn it around. But from your book, I'm kind of getting an idea that I may need to do a little bit deeper exploration. Guys don't tend to want to do that often, but I think it might be worth it for me to do a little bit deeper dive. And one of the areas that go ahead.
They said that they say that the unexamined life is not worth living. And yeah, I think it's good for anyone at any age to continue diving, because sometimes even workaholism can be just another way of escaping one's pain. It's perhaps healthier than, you know, being an alcoholic, but nevertheless, and this is just speaking from someone, you know, I'm a workaholic. I excessively exercise. They're coping mechanisms.
Yes. So when we're trying to do this, obviously trauma is not just it's not just an emotion. It actually physically changes our body and our brain. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, trauma really does affect both our body and our brain. In terms of what it does to the brain, it overstimulates different parts of the brain, in particular the amygdala. And this is an almond-shaped mass located deep in the brain and is responsible for survival-related threat identification, as well as tagging memories with emotion. So after trauma, this part of the brain can become highly alert and activated, which makes us perceive threats everywhere and also can make us hypervigilant. Also, it affects our hippocampus and increases cortisol levels. And this, you know, can cause a whole variety of problems, inflammation in the body, keeping the body and mind stimulated in a reaction mode constantly. And also our prefrontal cortex shrinks, and this is our decision-making part of the brain, so we're not always making the best decisions for ourselves. So there's lots of changes in the brain, and, you know, your brain is really responsible for a lot of things. So it becomes problematic because of the very motor that's running us is not functioning properly.
Yeah. Now, so obviously, you know, as folks can go through the ACE test, is that something they could find online, or is it readily available?
Yes, they can find it online. They just need to Google adverse childhood experiences test and it will pop up.
Okay. So if someone goes through that test, or they suspect, okay, there was some, or know that there was some trauma in their past, because of various events that were still kind of there. How is yoga going to help them with this journey?
You know, well, first of all, yoga in its very essence is calming and relaxing. It lowers blood pressure. It lowers the heart rate. It gives us a pause. So it's just going to kind of take you back to a more neutral place. It also gives you the opportunity to witness the body and the mind, so you can kind of see what's going on in your body. If you're, you know, with repetitive practice, you'll be able to observe mental patterns that perhaps are not serving you. Perhaps you can then, if you're a more contemplative person, witness patterns in your life that aren't serving you, you know, whether it's with relationships, friendships, job. And then also it helps our bodies produce GABA. And GABA is a calming agent produced by the brain. And when we're really stressed out, our GABA levels are really low. So yoga is actually one of the only, if not the only ways, other than if we take a GABA, you know, supplement or pharmaceutical, which it strips you of your emotions, by the way, this is a great way to get GABA active in the body.
Now, when you start talking about trauma, this is just one of the things that kind of hit me because you have some case studies in the book that are really, really good, and men and women, and some with PTSD and other things. And I was just thinking, because one reason it hit home was I was in that unit, the guy, I can't remember his name, the plane crash. I was in 82nd Airborne. Not 82nd, 101st Airborne, just right after that.
I joined
the military, and I was stationed at Fort Campbell. So we were hearing about the plane crash, you know, because it was a peacetime thing. And so, you would have these accidents, and it was a question of what's going on, because we had some helicopter accidents. We weren't actively involved, but it was some people in our unit. So we kept having these series of accidents, and you're like, okay, we're in peacetime, and we're you know, we're at risk. And so every time you're getting on the helicopter, everything, doing something, you just, like you said, hypervigilant. You're watching out for your buddy. You're watching out for yourself. You're like, okay, we don't want to be the ones that have the accident. So that's why I say it was kind of drew me in, because I was like, okay, I can feel what this guy's feeling at some level. It's hard sometimes to kind of lean into those feelings, though. So, you're thinking about going into yoga. It just seems to be, there has to be a trust factor between you and the yogi that you're learning from to take that step.
Well, yes and no. If, we take that test and we decide, okay, I recognize that I have this issue, and I just want to explore a yoga practice because I also recognize that, I've got high blood pressure, I'm hypervigilant, I'm highly reactive, or whatever the case may be. You can go to yoga, you can partake in the practice. You don't have to discuss any of your trauma with the instructor. If you were the victim of a violent attack, you're going to want to make sure that, you're not getting any surprise hands-on adjustments by your instructor. We really focus on this a lot at Yoga Fit. In fact, there was a recent article in the New York Times about yoga teachers who are, let's say, getting a little too handsy with their students. That just came out in the New York Times over the weekend. But we teach our students at Yoga Fit to make sure that they tell students that they're going to make hands-on adjustments if they do, and give the student an opportunity to refuse. Because for people who have had physical or sexual trauma in their lives, the wrong touch at the wrong time can trigger them, be highly triggering.
Yeah, I can see that. So as we talk about Yoga Fit, because you've trained hundreds of thousands of instructors. There's 7 steps of Yoga Fit. Could you kind of go through those to get us a little bit more familiar with the Yoga Fit?
Well, the essence of Yoga Fit is breathing, feeling, listening to the body, letting go of judgment, expectation, and competition, and being present in the moment. And we encourage anybody who takes a Yoga Fit workshop, retreat, or training to really embody these principles in themselves, because yoga is a practice and it's a process, and it's not a one-time event, nor is it a one-size-fits-all proposition. So, allowing that to be our foundation. And when we practice too, we don't want to be competing with the person next to us or competing with the body that we had 10 years ago. We just want to show up for ourselves in that day. And just, when I practice, I'm just, some days I have an injury, some days I'm tight. You just kind of, it's an opportunity to just be with what is and do a little inquiry into the body and see what's going on.
As a hyper competitive person, I would still struggle a little bit. I think it would take me a long time of practicing to get comfortable with just not competing against myself. I'm not going to compete against anyone else, but I still do have this strong inclination in myself to just want to see if I can be a little bit better tomorrow. So I like the 7 steps. I think, the particularly when you're talking about breathing and just kind of being aware of yourself, I don't think we give ourselves enough of that on a day-to-day basis. But I do see that this is kind of a process that you'd have to practice for a while to really get comfortable. I would have to practice for a while to get comfortable with.
Yeah. And you know, everything's a practice in life usually. So, I just think that engaging in the process is very beneficial, whether it's your first time doing it or your 1000th time doing it. It's just, you're always going to get some benefits, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Well, I believe listening to the body is very important. I believe in setting an intention, an action plan, and then you have to follow your plan. And then lastly, be a little bit flexible.
I really like those, especially the action part. So many people plan, and don't act. So thank you for that. If someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about your book, Healing Trauma with Yoga, or about Yoga Fit, where would you like for me to send them?
Well, Healing Trauma with Yoga, which is now out and available and shipping from warehouses everywhere and available in bookstores, also can be ordered off of Amazon or off of yogafit.com. If you're interested in a YogaFit workshop, conference, or training, we have over 50 different educational programs as we run over 1,000 trainings worldwide every year and 15 conferences across North America. They can go to yogafit.com. If you're interested in more health and wellness articles, anti-aging hacks, information on dealing with depression via supplementation, red light therapy, weighted blankets, and all the other alternative and not so alternative things that I'm up to, you can visit me at bethshaw.com.
Great. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/410, and I'll be sure to have all those links there. So Beth, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, and I wish everyone a fit and peaceful day.
Are you enjoying the podcast? Good. Now, if you just do me one favor, go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/support. That's going to take you to our Patreon page. Now, Patreon's a really cool service that lets you support the podcast with very small donations. And for every new patron we get during the month of December, I'm going to do a special bonus episode during the first quarter of 2020. And in that, I'll make the special dedication just to you. So please go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/support and help keep 40 Plus Fitness charging on into 2020. Thank you. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, I'm going to share my favorite health and fitness books. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.